Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are going through the Sermon on the Mount, and our passage this morning really builds upon and continues from what Jesus was telling us in the previous section in verses 1 through 18, that we ought to seek the reward that God can give us. And therefore, we ought to live in such a way that pleases God, because the one whom we please is the one who will reward us. So if we live for the approval and praise of other people, we're only going to get whatever reward they give us. But if we live to please God, then our reward will come from him. So our passage builds on that idea by speaking about laying up treasure. Treasure on earth, like the praises of men, won't last. But treasure in heaven, like the rewards that God gives to his people, will last eternally. Jesus also tells us in this passage that we can actually learn a lot about ourselves by looking at what we treasure. What we treasure, what we love the most, what we pursue, reveals something about who we really are. Jesus says, it reveals our heart. How can we know what it is we really treasure? What we really love the most? Jesus says that what you treasure is revealed by your anxiety. What you love is what you worry about. So there's two steps in our passage this morning. Number one, what you worry about reveals what your treasure is. Number two, what you treasure reveals your heart, who you really are. So we're going to see those two steps this morning as we walk through our passage in two parts. Verses 19 through 24, what you love reveals what you are. And verses 25 through 34, what you love is what you worry about. Look with me first at verses 19 through 25, where we see that what you love reveals what you are. Jesus tells us we ought to lay up treasures in heaven rather than seeking to lay up treasures on earth. This is another way of saying that we ought to seek the reward that God gives us rather than the rewards that we might pursue on earth. Why should you lay up treasure in heaven and not on earth? Jesus tells us that treasures on earth aren't secure and they don't last. Moths and rust can eat them up. Thieves can steal them. So treasures on earth can be lost, can't they? Treasure in heaven, however, cannot be lost. They do not degrade or devalue over time, and they can't be stolen because of the one who is holding them for us. So how do we lay up treasure in heaven? Well, this is what verse 1 through 18 was all about, right? Jesus calls on his people to practice our righteousness in order to please God and not in order to impress other people. The treasures we lay up in heaven are the rewards that God will give to his people for the acts of righteousness that come from the heart in this life, the new heart that God gives us by his grace. So it's important to say, as we're talking about things like righteousness and rewards, that no one has the capacity to do this, to please God on their own. The Bible says that no one is righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners who only deserve God's condemnation, not his commendation. So before we can have this conversation that Jesus is talking to us about this morning, about rewards and laying up treasure in heaven, first, God must do a new creation heart surgery within us. If we're going to please God with obedience from the heart, we're going to need obedient hearts, aren't we? It's going to come from the new heart that God alone can give us. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the only righteousness that's going to be rewarded, the only righteousness that's going to lay up treasure, is going to be the righteousness that comes from faith that pleases God. It's by faith that we are united to Christ, and that union means that his perfect righteousness is credited to our account just as a gift. And it also means that his death on the cross pays the penalty of God's wrath that we deserve because of all of our sin. And it means that his resurrection from the dead also now gives new spiritual life to those who trust in Christ, and also it gives us the hope of the resurrection for all who belong to Jesus by faith. And the one who's united to Christ by faith is able to practice a righteousness from that new heart that we've been given that genuinely pleases God and that God tells us he will reward. Jesus focuses in on this very issue of the heart in verse 21. Jesus says that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. What does that mean? Your heart is the very center and core of who you are. It's your truest identity. It's the real you. How do you know who you really are? Jesus says, by looking at what you love. What you really treasure, what you live for, what you desire, what you prioritize, reveals your heart. It reveals who you really are. So if what you treasure the most is what can be gained here on earth, the praise and admiration of people, money, possessions, power, just ease. If the treasure you're pursuing is something found here on earth, that tells us something about you, doesn't it? It tells us something about the very center and core of your identity. Jesus says, if your treasure is on earth, then so is your heart. Your truest identity, your real self, belongs to the earth, to the kingdom of this world. But if your treasure is in heaven, if what you really want, if what you really desire is the reward that comes from God, that also says something about you, doesn't it? That says that your heart, your identity is in heaven. What does that mean? We might say that it's your true home. It's where you really belong. Your citizenship is in heaven. Where you fit, where you belong, is with God. In verses 23 through 24, Jesus gives us an illustration of this idea of that what we love reveals what we are. And here the eye is compared to a lamp that gives light, right? So just as you might light a lamp and then you follow its light, so also the whole body, your whole life, will follow whatever the eye sets its gaze upon. Your eye's leading you, right? The eye here is that the idea here is that the eye lets light in. Light enters through our sense of sight, doesn't it? So if your eye is healthy, if you can see well, then light is said to enter like through the door of your eyes, and your whole body is filled with light. But if your eye is not healthy, if you're blind, then light doesn't get in, does it? The blindness of your eye will fill your entire body. Your whole life will be filled with darkness. This illustration is not making a different point. It's making the same point, just in a different way. We might put it like this: you will be filled with what you focus on. It's another way of saying, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What your eye, your heart focuses on, what you pursue, that is what you will get. That is what you will be filled with. And Jesus says your treasure will either be in heaven or on earth. So also, Jesus says that you will either be filled with light or you will be filled with darkness, blindness. So what we treasure reveals who we really are. It reveals whether we can see clearly or whether we're spiritually blind and darkened. In verse 24, Jesus tells us something else that our treasure reveals. Jesus says that you are a slave of whatever you treasure. Now, that is not the way we typically think about treasures, is it? When we treasure something, we usually think about something that we possess, right? Look at my shiny treasure. It's mine. But Jesus says we got it all backwards. You don't possess your treasure. What you treasure actually possesses and masters and rules over you. Jesus says that whatever it is that you treasure is your master. You're a slave of whatever it is you most love. So not only does your treasure reveal your heart, who you are, your treasure also reveals your master, who you really serve. And it's good for Jesus, for us to see that Jesus' point in verse 24 is actually to say that you can only have one master. That's his real point in that verse, right? So that means we can really only have one heart-defining, master revealing, all consuming treasure that we pursue. And that's an important point because I think we're probably all inclined to make qualifications and exceptions wherever we can find them, right? So we might say, well, I have rather broad interests. I have many pursuits. I don't just care about one thing. I care about a lot of stuff. There are many things that I treasure in life. It's not just one thing. I hear that. Our lives and loves are multifaceted, aren't they? Absolutely. Perhaps we could understand that in light of Jesus' words here, that the many different pursuits, passions of your life, that we shouldn't see those as different masters you're serving, but perhaps we could see them as all the various commands given by one singular master whom you serve. I suspect that if you were to take the time to categorize your various priorities and loves and pursuits, that you would be able to find some common threads among them. Jesus says that our loves and loyalties will ultimately all reduce to one. The question is, then in all of your various treasures and pursuits, what singular master do they all, and therefore you, serve? Perhaps we could combine Jesus' two illustrations here together as a spiritual eye exam to see whether our eye is healthy or not, whether we see clearly or not. If our eye focuses on a treasure as something to be possessed by us, rather than as a master to be served by us, then friends, that is an eye that does not see clearly, according to Jesus' words here. That is an eye in pursuit of a treasure that will fill a person with darkness and not light. Jesus calls his followers to lay up treasures in heaven. We are to live all of life here on earth with the eyes of our heart fixed upon what awaits us in the fullness of Christ's kingdom. Where are the treasures then that you are laying up right now? And what does that reveal about where your heart is right now? Look with me at verses 25 through 34. What you love is what you worry about. Our treasure reveals our heart. What we most love reveals the master we serve. So also our anxieties, our fears, our worries reveal what we truly treasure. Anxiety, fear, and worry are what we experience when something that we treasure is at risk of being lost. That's just good to know in general. As people who will be prone to feel at times anxious, fearful, worried, when you experience those feelings, that can actually help you identify, what is it that I am most loving and treasuring in this moment that's causing me to feel anxious about it? Jesus told us that we're to lay up treasures in heaven and not to lay up treasures on earth. And here he tells us that we're not to be anxious about things on earth. These two fit together, don't they? If our anxieties reveal where our treasure is, and we're not to be anxious about things on earth, it tells us our treasures must be in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your anxiety will be also. And isn't this even the reason Jesus gave why you shouldn't lay up treasures on earth? If your treasure's on earth, then you have lots of reasons to worry, don't you? You got to think about moths and rust. They might get at your treasure and destroy it or devalue it or degrade it over time. And that just makes anxiety inevitable, right? Let me just go check my treasure one more time and make sure it's okay. But it's not just moths and rust, is it? You also have to worry about thieves. If your treasure's on earth, that means it can be taken away. So think about what that means. If your treasure can just rot away or be taken away in a moment, and where your treasure is there, your heart will be also, what would it mean to lose your treasure? Would it mean losing your heart too? Something central to yourself? Isn't that kind of the way sometimes we hear people talk when they lose whatever it was they most loved, like they lost themselves? The reason we are anxious is because our hearts will be as tenuous as our treasure. That's why Jesus says, don't lay up treasure on earth. So I said a moment ago, where your treasure is, there your anxiety will be also. That's not entirely correct, though. If our treasure is on earth, then we will have anxiety and worry, won't we? Our hearts will be as tenuous as our treasure. But if your treasure is in heaven, what does that do to your anxiety? There's no moths or rust in heaven, right? So it can't degrade or wear out. No stock market can devalue it. And no thief can steal it. So treasure that's in heaven just can't be lost. It is not at risk or in danger of anything. And that means there is zero cause for us to feel anxious about it. Anxiety or fear about the future is a response that makes sense if what you most love is in danger or could potentially be in danger. But what sense does it make to feel anxiety if there is literally zero chance of your treasure being taken from you? If everything you want and everything you need you have and it can't be lost, what room does that leave for anxiety or worry? But there's more that Jesus says about anxiety and worry. If our truest treasure is laid up in heaven, then it's true. We have no need to worry about it. But Jesus doesn't just say that we don't need to worry about our treasure. He tells us we shouldn't be anxious about even the most basic needs and things of this life, like food and clothing. So that means your treasure can be in heaven, and there's still other stuff that you might worry or feel anxious about in life. That's important for us to recognize because it happens just to be true and real, right? Jesus is talking to his followers here about anxiety, and his message isn't, aren't you glad your treasure's in heaven so that you don't have to feel any worry or anxiety ever about anything? That's not what Jesus says. Jesus knows that even his followers will still face anxiety, fear, and worry in this life. That's why he's talking to us about it. Jesus gives two illustrations that both make the same point, that are meant to help us to respond in faith when we are tempted to anxiety. And I choose the word tempted on purpose. Jesus describes anxiety and worry in this passage as a sinful response of our hearts. And the alternative response of our heart that Jesus calls us to is faith. So that means that Jesus' words here, they only apply to Jesus' followers. So these are not general tips for anyone on how to help anxiety. Jesus' words here will not help your anxiety if your treasure is on earth. If the master that you serve is a part of the kingdom of this world. But for Jesus' followers who have faith in him, whose treasure and whose heart is in heaven, and who serves God from the heart, and yet who still faces anxiety, fear, and worry in this life, Jesus' words here are for you. What does Jesus want you to know? He wants you to know that you're more valuable to God than birds. Verse 26. Birds don't plant or harvest, but they eat. Their needs are met because God cares about them. God made the birds and he's concerned for them. And they're just birds. He has a far greater concern for you. And it's not just fauna, it's flora too. The fields are full of the beauty of flowers that exceed even the glory that King Solomon could afford to buy. God, the Creator, bedecks with beauty the things he has made, including even plants that grow out of the dirt and are just going to wither and burn up tomorrow. Today, God makes them beautiful because he cares about them. How does that help us with anxiety? At the end of verse 26, are you not of more value than they? God cares about birds and grass, and he cares even more about you. I'm sure there's, to some extent, where all of us care about birds to some extent. We all care about landscaping to some extent, right? But you care more about your children, don't you, right? than some bird. God cares far more about his children as well. Verse 27 asks an important question. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Anxiety, worry, and fear don't accomplish. They don't produce anything. So you may not experience, you may never have experienced the anxiety of wondering about where your next meal is coming from. But how prone are we to worry about our health, about our lifespan? Will I get that medicine that I need? Will the procedure that I need be available? Will it be successful? So even if you've always had your next meal lined up, doesn't mean you haven't known what it is to be desperate for your life, right? Jesus says, even in those desperate circumstances where life and death are in the balance, anxiety does not help tip the scales towards life. It doesn't add anything. It doesn't extend your life even an hour. What does anxiety do? Anxiety reveals what we are trusting in and depending upon. In verse 30, how does Jesus address that person who is anxious about these basic, important matters of life and death? O you of little faith. If you trust God to keep your treasure secure for you in heaven, then you can also trust him with every deprivation, disaster, deficit, and diagnosis that you face in this life. Anxiety, therefore, is really the inverse of faith. And that's why it's a sinful response of our hearts, because it's what we're doing when we're supposed to be faithing, trusting, depending. To the extent that I am filled with worry and anxiety, to that same extent, I am lacking faith and trust and dependence that I ought rightly to have towards God. He deserves my trust. And in anxiety and fear and worry, I am not giving to God what is his due. Verses 31 through 34 really sum all of this up for us. We shouldn't be anxious, even about the most basic needs of earthly life, not because they aren't important, not because they aren't real needs. If you knew someone that wasn't able to have lunch today because they didn't have food or they didn't have, you would see that as a big problem. You would want to do something about that, right? These are not little problems. The reason we're not supposed to be anxious about even those most basic life and death struggles is not because they aren't real needs or they aren't important. It's because your Heavenly Father knows what you need and he will care for you. So this is not a don't worry, be happy kind of uber spirituality that makes light of the reality and goodness of our physical existence or that makes light of the real needs we experience in this life. We are physical beings with physical needs, but we have a Heavenly Father who deserves to be trusted and depended upon for everything, including those things. Maybe we could say, especially including those things that you are most prone to be anxious about. These verses here at the end bring us back to the idea of what we treasure, what we seek, what our eyes focus on. We're not to seek those things on earth like the Gentiles, those who don't even know God. Rather, we're told to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And by faith, we depend upon God to also meet all of our physical earthly needs. The mention here of God's kingdom and righteousness should probably remind us of the Lord's Prayer that he just taught us. Jesus there told us that we shouldn't pray like the Gentiles. So also here, we're not to seek what they seek. Rather, what Jesus told us ought to be prioritized in our prayers, here he tells us ought to also be the priorities in our lives. We don't just pray for God's kingdom to come. We seek it as our treasure, as our pursuit, as what our eye is fixed upon. We don't just pray and ask for God's will to be done on earth. We seek to live in accordance with his perfect righteousness. And at the same time, in the same prayer, we also acknowledge that we are utterly dependent upon God to provide our daily bread, to provide what we need right now for our lives to be sustained. Jesus says, God knows what you need before you ask him. Is the conclusion we're supposed to draw from that is, well, then we don't really need to pray. He already knows, so why ask? No, the point of saying that is so that we might ask in complete faith, free from anxiety and worry, with utter confidence that God knows exactly what we need. He knows before and better than even we know ourselves. So what do you do if you recognize that you are too easily tempted to be anxious about the things of this world? How do we change? How do we grow? Well, the emphasis in our passage here seems to be about how our worries reveal our treasure. And our treasure reveals something about our hearts, doesn't it? So the first step would be to get clear on what it is we're truly treasuring. And our passage gives us multiple ways of kind of getting at that, thinking through that in our own lives. First, what we focus on is what we'll be filled with. So what catches your eye? What has your attention today? What is the eye of your heart pursuing? Secondly, we're told we serve what we treasure. So who or what are you serving right now? Jesus says that we're to seek his kingdom and his righteousness, for his will and his priorities to shape and direct our will and our priorities, like how a master directs his servant. So who are you serving this morning? Thirdly, what are you worried about? We feel anxious when what we love is at risk. So what are those things that most easily fill you with fear for the future? And what would it look like for your faith in God for that specific area to increase? Through the means of prayer and God's word, Christian, God has given you everything you need to be able to grow in just this basic recognition of how you need God for your daily bread, how you truly depend upon him. The way for our anxiety in this life to decrease is for our faith in God to increase. Would you pray with me? Lord, when we are afraid, we will put our trust in you. Lord, when we are tempted to anxiety, we will bring our prayers and our requests to you as the provider of all of our needs. Lord, help us to walk by faith in this life, seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness, that by so doing, we might lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Lord, would you give us spiritual eyes that see clearly? Lord, we confess our eyes are often cloudy and our vision is blurred. Lord, help us to see rightly the emptiness of those earthly treasures that so easily catch our eye and draw us to them. Lord, instead, would you fill our vision with the glory and beauty of heaven that every part of our lives in this dark world might be filled with your light. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.